Chapter 12. When Stiles woke up Sunday morning, he didn't move from his position, staring at his ceiling for a few minutes, taking an inventory of himself and deciding that, yeah, he was feeling pretty much the same way he had when he had gone to bed, and that he was still pretty peeved, still kind of horny, and more than anything else, he was still very confused. The night had, it had seemed like it had been going pretty good. Screw good. It had been going fantastic, right from the get-go. Before the violent femmes had even played a note, Stiles had remembered, for the first time in years, that his mother had used to joke that Gordon Gano had been kind of cute when she saw them in concert, but that she had decided she liked his dad better, causing a young Stiles to walk up to his dad once he got home from work and proclaim that he was happy that his daddy was cuter than that Gordon guy, leaving his dad looking very confused and his mother almost doubled over with laughter. So by the time the opening acts had done their sets, and it was time for the femmes to take the stage, Stiles was already just joyous, filled with nearly every type of good feeling he could quantify. A bond with his mother, even if she was gone, the energy from the crowd growing and churning around him, amping him up. And Derek. Derek, who couldn't hide his unfamiliarity with a band, and how uncomfortable he was with the crush of people surrounding them, but was there for Stiles, just for Stiles. A smile sliding over his face when the first song had ended, and Stiles had launched himself into his space to kiss him on the cheek and yell out, "Thank you!" over the start of the next song. It had been incredibly obvious that Derek wouldn't have been within miles of the concert if left to his own devices, but he was there, in the thick of it, because that's where Stiles wanted to be. Knowing that made every note come from the stage seem purer, every flash of light brighter. Stiles had never had a better time in a concert before in his life. Even once the groping by other concertgoers started to get going, that really hadn't put much of a damper on the experience. The few that had tried to get all up in his business when Derek had been getting a bottled water from the bar area had been put off easily enough by, in most cases, a firm no. And if not that, the threat of dislocating all the fingers on the offering hand was a pretty effective last resort. Papa Stilinski didn't raise no willy-nilly, and before Stiles had hit his growth spurt, had taught him a few of the more underhanded fighting techniques, just in case. So really, any drunk and over-amorous audience members who could not resist the allure of the Stiles had been decidedly handled, no problem. But when Derek came back, and Stiles saw his reaction to that really persistent older woman trying to cop a feel? Well, it hadn't been like he was playing at being a helpless damsel. He just wasn't being as proactive as he had been when by himself. And when Derek drew him in close and acted like he was fighting the urge to have sex with Stiles right there in the middle of the show, Stiles decided that even though it might have been under slightly duplicitous circumstances, there were way worse things in the world than letting his hot law enforcement boyfriend feel all possessive and protective of him once in a while. Actually, as he had danced against Derek, he had been hard-pressed to think of anything better than letting Derek indulge in some caveman possessiveness. The music pounding in his ears, mixing with the feeling of Derek hardening against him, almost like he was ready to slot right in. Stiles could not have been more excited for the post-show part of his birthday celebration. It had started out so perfect. Yes, if Stiles was being entirely honest with himself, his attempt at passenger seat striptease had probably been a hell of a lot closer to something like endearingly awkward, as opposed to anything even resembling incredibly sensual and erotic. But Derek had seemed to like it pretty well. What with the kissing and the beard burn that was still showing on his stomach, even after close to 10 hours, consisting of a mix of mortification, anger, and unconsciousness. Not to mention the playful spanking followed by a kiss, a dynamic which, as Stiles had told Derek, he was definitely not against experimenting with more at a later date. And then they were horizontal and down to their underwear, and it was the best, feeling Derek's weight on top of him, and just knowing that he could finally touch and feel and taste without having to worry about being jailbait or anything else. And Derek had just shut it down without giving any reason, because saying, "I'll tell you tomorrow," is not anything resembling an explanation. It's just straight up evasion. Styles sat up on his bed and scrubbed his hand over his scalp. And of course, there was the matter of the I love yous, which, while Styles hadn't been planning to wait until they were under a gentle shower of rose petals to say, he had assumed that one of them would say it someplace natural and cozy, like curled up together after a movie, or post-coital or something. Styles had really been imagining the post-coital scenario. But really, he expected one of them to say it at any other time, rather than when Derek decided he needed to cock-block himself, and, by extension, Styles. But what really mattered about each of them saying, I love you, is that Styles, pissed off as he was, both now and when he said it, really, truly meant it. And when Derek had said it in return, he meant it. There was not the slightest glimmer of doubt in Styles' mind that Derek loved him more than he thought anyone could ever have the want or capacity to. Which is why, all of the sudden secrecy, and from his perspective totally unnecessary, self-restraint, had left him with not only some residual irritation and horniness, but also the beginnings of a stress headache, even after a full sleep. The only real solution was to stop dwelling on it by himself. Derek had said they'd meet in the woods later on in the afternoon to share whatever the hell his deep, dark secret was. So until that time came around, that meant that Scott was going to get the honor of being Styles' sounding board, as was both his solemn duty as a best friend and what he owed to Styles for trying to rope him into helping him compose a poem dedicated to Allison. Scott had wanted a villanelle, but Styles had managed to talk him down to a haiku in the interest of preserving their friendship, as well as not having to find something flattering that rhymed with Allison. Styles looked at his phone. Scott would be awake-ish at 9:30 a.m. on a Sunday, right? Styles decided that whatever they were, Scott's sleep or lack thereof was going on the back burner for the day and hit dial. Styles swung his feet over the edge of the bed as the phone rang a couple of times before a groggy-sounding Scott picked up.
Styles, it's Sunday. I don't have to be awake on Sunday until noon. Why are you calling me before noon?
Well, I...
Oh God, please don't tell me about the sex you and Derek had, Scott interrupted,
now sounding wide awake.
I'm sorry I told you all about mine and Allison's first time. I was just so excited and happy because Allison, but please don't give me a play-by-play.
Scott, Styles tried to interject.
And it's not the Derek and you are both guys thing. You know that. It's just you and me are brothers, and I finally understand how awkward it is to hear your brother talk about his sex life.
Really, Scott?
I mean, I'm glad you're having one, and you're glad I'm having one, but we probably shouldn't discuss them in detail anymore. I mean, you at all, or me ever again.
Scott, my brother, you had better believe me when I say I'm going to hold you to that promise after the next time you and Allison sneak off together for fun times. But I am honestly not calling to subject you to a critique of Derek's sexual prowess.
Oh, okay. Sorry about all that then, Scott apologized.
Styles could perfectly picture Scott doing his sad puppy sorry face and let himself smile for the first time that morning.
I'm calling because of blue balls.
Maybe it's because you woke me up, but I'm getting the feeling that this conversation is going to be awkward and confusing, Scott said, his voice sounding vaguely forlorn and tinny over the phone. Scott, at least a solid 25% of our conversations fit at least one of those two criteria.
Did you really calculate that out? Scott asked.
Maybe, maybe not. But whether I actually did or not, let's remember who checks whose math homework. Back to the key issue here. Blue balls.
Yes.
But not that I want details, but I kind of got the vibe that after the concert, you and Derek were definitely going to do it. Because he wouldn't have to arrest himself if the two of you did anything like he would have had to have before your birthday. I mean, that's why you had me wait in the car while you got some tips from Danny, right? Asked Scott. First, Derek arresting himself would have been a hell of a neat trick to watch. And yeah, that was the plan, complete with helpful pointers courtesy of Mr. Mahalani. It was a plan that had been running incredibly, relatively smoothly until Derek just stopped. Like, right in the The middle? He just stopped? Well, we still had our underwear on, so I'm not sure if that fits the bill of being in the middle of anything. It's middle enough for me. So what happened? Like I said, he just put the brakes on all of a sudden. One minute I'm about to finally have sex with my boyfriend, after the two of us being ridiculously good about waiting until all parties involved are legal. And the next he's plastered himself against the car door, saying that he has something important to tell me, but he couldn't do it there. Well, what was it? I don't know yet. He was all about me going home and being well rested after that, so we're not meeting up until later today for him to tell me. So what do you think it could be? I mean, it's Derek. What sort of big secrets could he even have? I don't know. I mean, obviously no secret criminal past while he was away at college, because no way he'd have gotten a job at the sheriff's or something like that. Maybe there's, like, a crazy relative locked in the attic of the Hale house that all the family has to take care of and keep secret? Scott offered, causing Stiles to physically pull the phone away from his face and look down at it in disbelief before bringing it back up to his ear. Scott, where the hell did you even get that from? Allison had rented that Jane Eyre movie, and we watched it last night. You actually watched it? Not watched it? Scott asked with emphasis. Well, her parents were home, so yeah, we actually watched it. You know, I'm genuinely glad that you're expanding your literary knowledge in a suitably Scottish way, but I highly doubt that that's it. For one, it's not like the Hales have any majorly mentally unstable relations. Just Derek's Uncle Peter, who's not crazy so much as has a really weird sense of humor, and a tendency to try and give me makeovers whenever we were visiting at the same time. And, more importantly, I know you haven't been there as much as I have, but the Hales are seriously all about family. They would never just shut a family member up in the attic to be hidden away like that, even if they were crazy. I mean, that's how I was able to eliminate my first crazy paranoid theory that he'd gotten somebody pregnant while he was away at school, before we were even halfway home from our aborted sexy times pit stop. If he had a kid out there somewhere, there would be just no way that Mrs. Hale and Laura wouldn't know about it and be parading the kid around town dressed in custom-made baby outfits and feeding it gourmet organic snacks. Now I'm picturing a baby with Derek's eyebrows. Focus, Scott. We're brainstorming about what Derek could possibly have to tell me. The hypothetical grouchy-looking babies are just a side street. Just, seriously, what the hell could it be that he couldn't just tell me? I'm trying to think, Stiles. I really am. But I just can't. Oh, herpes! Herpes, Stiles repeated flatly, as he had stood up and began to pace across his room. I mean, that's what it could be. What if he has herpes and wanted to tell you before your two, you know, junks touched? Then I could understand stopping, but why couldn't he just tell me that in the car? He was all about how I should be able to leave his immediate vicinity if I wanted to after he tells me whatever it is. I mean, an STI is serious, but how is it too much for a car conversation? I don't know what else to say. Herpes is the best I got, Scott says, quickly followed by a loud shout of, Mom! Sounding further away from the receiver, before Scott returns to Stiles. Damn it, Stiles, my mom heard me talking about STIs. She's gonna pull out all the pamphlets she gets from work again, and they all have really gross pictures. Stiles stilled in his pacing and winced in sympathy. Oh yeah, she showed me those pamphlets too. Sorry, dude. Really sorry. For what I can recall from my inability to completely block out some of the syphilitic photos. But thanks, bro, for talking with me about this. Hey, man, we'll always have each other's backs, even if I have to look at pictures of genital warts because of it. You're a true friend, Scott. And you'll let me know later if things between you and Derek are cool, right? I mean, no details, but... You got it. Now go meet your fate before your mother pulls out the chlamydia puppet. She has a puppet? Talk to you later, Scott, Stiles said, ending the call. He tossed his phone on the bed and walked to the bathroom to take a shower and clear his head, still unable to stop wondering how Derek could say that he loved him so easily, but not tell him whatever the secret was. Because Styles knew that whatever the hell it turned out to be, so long as Derek loved him, it wouldn't matter to him at all. Not one damn bit.
After Derek dropped Styles off at his house, he didn't go back home. Not right away. Instead, he parked in a dead-end path in the woods from when other families had considered building there before certain animal interference convinced them otherwise, and shifted into the wolf in hopes that things might seem clearer then. He'd felt barely in control of himself on the ride back, with every passing mile the possibility that he may have really and truly fucked things up became more and more real. To say that his wolf was on edge and frantic was an understatement of massive proportions. Now, being faced with the idea once more that Styles might reject him, being so very near to having him, claiming him in every way, it hurt. It was almost physically painful and familiar as well. This had been what he had been feeling always at the edge of his being, but trying to deny, all the time he had been apart from Styles before acknowledging that the kind boy from the police station, grown into a man, was meant to be Derek's mate. Was the only one there could ever be to keep Derek from becoming so unbalanced that his family might themselves have to put him down before he became all but feral. Breaking the hunter's vaunted code and bringing the family to their attention. And Derek would not fight them. He was never going to put his family in danger again. And that included Styles and the sheriff. If there was even a chance that in his maddened state, his instincts would drive him to the Stalinsky home, and Derek whimpered at the thought. It wasn't over yet, he tried to tell himself. Just because he had messed up the timing of everything didn't mean that things couldn't turn out all right. Styles had said he loved him. That didn't mean that a knot of trepidation and fear wasn't growing and twisting its way through Derek's center. But Styles had said he loved him. He had to focus on that and believe that Styles would feel the same after he knew the truth. He slept out in the woods, in the hollow under a tree until late morning, unable to face his parents or Laura. Only after he knew that they were gone to town, his parents off to do their habitual Sunday morning coffee, followed by the week's major grocery shopping, and Laura down at the wellness center to teach her mommy and me yoga class, did Derek venture out from his hiding spot and change back to drive the Camaro up to the house. Once there, he went inside the empty house to take a shower and put on a clean set of clothes. He shrugged on his leather jacket and looked at his reflection in the mirror before quickly turning away. His eyes were that of an animal's. He needed to calm down. He needed to stay focused. He needed to stay human. He needed Styles. He walked to the spot where he'd arranged to meet with Styles, even though it was still hours too early. The meeting place was a grassy clearing, about 15 minutes' walk on two legs from the Hale house, where they had actually had a picnic of all things, with Styles making them drive to town and get a red checkered blanket and a straw basket for authenticity. The sight of Styles sprawled out in the blanket, cheeks flushed after chasing a rabbit of all things around the clearing, definitely had made it a detour and purchase Derek was incapable of regretting. He waited there, laid out flat on the grass, and watched the clouds go by, desperately trying to convince himself that everything would be all right. After what seemed like both forever and no time at all, Styles was coming, clomping through the woods surrounding Derek, sound of his heartbeat the only sound in Derek's ears as he forced himself up off the ground to his feet to try his best to look nonchalant as Styles breached the barrier of trees and entered the clearing. "Hey, you've been waiting long?" asked Styles, stepping forward as if he wanted to hug Derek, but stopped short, his hands swinging at his sides, his scent radiating uncertainty. He was just so very close. "No, I just got here a few minutes ago," Derek lied, as he took one hesitant step forward, and then another, before surging forward to take Styles tightly in his arms. If this was the end of it, he at least wanted to hold Styles against him one more time. Styles wrapped his arms around Derek in turn, curling into his body like it was where he belonged. His scent mellowing and becoming less acrid with apprehension, and more the simultaneously soothing and enticing aroma that suited him so much better. Styles was the first to break the embrace. "So, what do you have to tell me?" Derek backed up further away from Styles, unsure of how to proceed. He had never been the best at forming detail-oriented plans. Loath as he was to admit it, he probably should have gone to Laura for a step-by-step method of how to reveal himself long before it came to this. But he had been so happy, thinking of the future in broad strokes of Styles never being far from his side, he hadn't wanted to think about anything that could even potentially stand in the way of it happening. "Derek? It might be better if I just show you," Derek said, taking off his jacket and handing it to Styles, before stepping back to put more distance between them. He then briskly stripped off his clothes, doing his best to ignore Styles' gasp and spike of arousal. "Derek, what are you?" Styles began to ask as Derek started shifting. Derek tried to look away from Styles and to just focus on the change. But he had barely changed into his hybrid form when he couldn't keep himself from looking back once the rapid uptick of Styles' heart and the smell of shock permeating the air sunk in. The look on Styles' face. He was terrified of him. He'd fucked up. It was all over. Derek ran.
Styles stood stock still, staring off into the direction Derek had run off to for a few seconds, before his legs gave out and he collapsed to the ground, still clutching Derek's leather jacket. "So," he said aloud to the empty air, "I think my boyfriend may be a werewolf. My boyfriend is a werewolf. My boyfriend is a werewolf," he repeated a third time, testing out the words once more. Against all conventional reasoning, he started to feel calmer with each repetition. "My boyfriend is a werewolf," he said once more, finessing his phone out of his pants pocket. He quickly scrolled through his address book, found the name he was looking for, and hit send. "My boyfriend is a werewolf," he said, idly tapping his thigh as the phone rang. Finally, it picked up. "Hello? Styles?" "Hi, Laura. Your brother can be a fucking moron sometimes, you know that?"